राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन राजन यमुना तिरबन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन राजन यमुना तिरबन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन राजन यमुना तिरबन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन राजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन राजन यमुना तिरबन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन राजन यमुना तिरबन चारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम रामा हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा रामा हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री भक्ति सिद्धांत गोस्वामी महाराज प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य शील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अश्वद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिर गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय। नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। गंगा मैया की जय। यमुना मैया की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। पतित पावन हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। चिल प्रभुपाद ट्रांसेंडेंटल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जय। गॉड प्रेमानंदी। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 13 एंटाइटल धृतराष्ट्र क्विट्स होम टेक्स्ट 44। यन्मन्यसे ध्रुवं लोकां अध्रुवं वा न चोभ्ययम् सर्वता नहि सोष्यते सोष्यस्ते स्नेहादन्यत्र मोहजाल। यन्मन्यसे ध्रुवं लोकम् अध्रुवं वा न च भयम् सर्वथा नहि सोच्यते स्नेहादन्यत्र महाजने यन्मन्यसे ध्रुवं लोकम् अध्रुवं वान च होह्ययम् सर्वता नहि सोच्यस्ते स्नेहादन्यत्र मोहजाल यन्मन्यसे ध्रुवं लोकम् अध्रुवं वान च होह्ययम् सर्वता नहि सोच्यस्ते स्नेहात् अन्यत्र मोहजात् यन्मन्यसे ध्रुवं लोकम् अध्रुवं वा न चोभयम् सर्वता नहि सोच्यस्ते स्नेहात् अन्यस्य मोहजात् यन्मन्यसे ध्रुवं लोकम् संयुधं वा न चाभयम् सर्वता नहि सोच्यस्ते स्नेहादन्यत्र मोहजात् माताजी वर्ड बाय वर्ड मीनिंग प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी यत् इवन दो मन्यसे यू थिंक ध्रुवम एब्सोल्यूट ट्रुथ लोकम पर्सन्स अध्रुवम नॉन रियलिटी वा ईदर न or not cha also ubhayam or both wise sarvatha in all circumstances na never he certainly sochayat subject for lamentation te they snehat due to affection अन्यत्र और अदरवाइज महाजात ड्यू टू बिविल्डरमेंट ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति वेदांत श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन ओ किंग इन ऑल सर्कमस्टेंसेस वेदर यू कंसीडर द सोल टू बी एन इटर्नल प्रिंसिपल or material body to be perishable, or everything to exist in the impersonal absolute truth, or everything to be an inexplicable combination of matter and spirit, feelings of separation are due only to illusory affection and nothing more. The actual fact is that every living being is an individual part and parcel of the Supreme Being, and his constitutional position is subordinate cooperative service, either in his conditional material existence or in his liberated position of full knowledge and eternity. The living entity is eternally under the control of the Supreme Lord. But those who are not conversant with factual knowledge put forward many speculative propositions about the real position of the living entity. It is admitted, however, by all schools of philosophy that the living being is eternal and that the covering body of the five material elements is perishable and temporary. The eternal living entity transmigrates from one material body to another by law of karma, and material bodies are perishable by their fundamental structures. Therefore, there is nothing to be lamented in the case of soul being transferred into another body or or the material body perishing at a certain stage. There are others also who believe in the merging of the spirit soul in the Supreme Spirit when it is uncovered by material encagement. And there are others also who do not believe in the existence of spirit or soul, but believe in transmigration, or believe in tangible matter in our daily experience. We had so many transformations of matter from the form, from one form to another, but we do not lament such changing features in either of the above cases. The force of divine energy is uncheckable, and one has any hand in it, and thus there is no cause of grief. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dada Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. At the very outset, I would like to welcome all of you to the Srimad Bhagavatam class, which is being held every day here in this temple. This is the grace of Srila Prabhupada flowing through all the ISKCON temples. Everywhere these classes are being held, and this is nothing but Srila Prabhupada's grace all over the world. This is a wonderful thing. So in this verse, this chapter is entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Now, Dhritarashtra quitting home, is it such a great phenomenon? In one sense, yes. And in another sense, no. We all quit our homes. In fact, we all quit our body also. We are all separated from our body at some stage in our life. So, Dhritarashtra quitting home should not be a big deal. But in this case, it is indeed very, very significant. Because we have the great Mahatma Vidur coming back to Hastinapur, possibly after 3 decades of Padayatra, going everywhere, going to all holy places, coming back with the explicit purpose of reforming, you know, Dhritarashtra. So, until Vidura again came to Hastinapur, Dhritarashtra was where he was. He had not given up any of his attachments. He was still attached to the throne which Yudhishthira Maharaj very graciously made available to him. He was still attached to the creature comforts of royalty. In every possible way, he was carrying on, though in between, he had lost his 100 sons. 100 of his sons, you know, were killed by Bhima. And he was actually passing through, in one sense, miserable existence. He was kept company by his virtuous wife, Gandhari Devi, great personality, whom Srila Prabhupada says that she was as great as Bhishma Pitamaha in terms of sheer renunciation. So Gandhari, so because of Gandhari. So he carried on, Dhritarashtra carried on in Hastinapur after the Mahabharata war, and Yudhishthir was kindness personified to his uncles, his uncle Dhritarashtra, because he felt that at a time when they had been orphaned by the early death of Pandu, they were taken care of by Dhritarashtra. Now, taken care of is in inverted commas, because he, you know, surrendered to his sons, Duryodhan's, you know, evil propensities, and subjected the Pandavas to great deal of suffering. But nevertheless, he did take care of them. He gave them some status. And that's why Yudhishthira Maharaj was always grateful to them. Now the question arises is that how come Vidura came back to Hastinapura? He had had a very tumultuous life. Vidura in his previous incarnation was Yamraj, Yamadharmaraj, you can call him, was. And Vidura was actually a great personality. Of the three sons of Vyasadeva, Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura, Vidura was perhaps the greatest in terms of sheer brilliance, sheer intelligence. He was very, very intelligent, and in fact, he had imbibed all the virtuous qualities of Vedavyasa, being a Mahajan himself in earlier birth. So, question arises in our mind, are Mahajans also subjected to suffering? We talk of 12 Mahajans, are they also subjected to suffering? Seems so. In this particular case, at least we can say that Mahajan like Yamadharmaraj, who is responsible for meting out punishment to all the living entities, such Yamadharmaraj also, you know, was subjected to a curse by Manduka Rishi, who had a grievance of his own. We won't go into the details, it's a long story, it has been narrated many times by devotees. But he had a grievance of his own, and he cursed Yamaraj. He said that you have not been very discreet in meting out punishments to people. You have just, you know, given punishment arbitrarily. Now, if as a child, you know, I committed, you know, pricked some ants, and because of that now I was punished by the king, then this premise is wrong, because children, you know, tend to commit so many mistakes. You should not have punished me. That was the stand. In fact, he said that now all children below the age of 14 should not be held responsible for what they are doing. Now the times have changed. We are in Kali Yuga. 14-year-olds or even younger than that go and shoot people with their guns. But nevertheless, Vidura, the position which Manduka Muni took was that children, I was a youngster, did not know anything, what was good and what was bad, and I did it. But you punished me this way? So he said that for this, I curse you to be born in the material world as Dasi Putra. And then you go through, you'll be in the royalty, but not really in the royalty, because you are a Dasi Putra. Because Pandu and Dhritarashtra were also sons of Vedavyas, so was, you know, Vidura. But because you are born as a Dasi Putra, you will not be entitled to have any royal, you know, privileges. But nevertheless, when eventually Vidura entered into this material world, he proved his worth in several different ways. He was an asset to Dhritarashtra, blind Dhritarashtra, after Pandu's death, who ruled Hastinapur. It was de facto Vidura. It was he who was ruling virtually through the agency of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra was blind. But he gave him the highest moral standards, and he tried to reform Dhritarashtra. Now, Dhritarashtra's son Duryodhan had an evil temperament. He was so evil that Vidura once suggested to his elder brother Dhritarashtra that you just abandon this fellow, you know, after he was born. He is going to be the root cause of your ruin, root cause of the ruin of dynasty itself. So just get rid of him, don't keep him with you. But Dhritarashtra was so fond, he became very, very fond of the Duryodhan, and he pampered him no end. Whatever evil plans he had in his mind, they were all perpetrated through the agency of Dhritarashtra. By Dhritarashtra's tacit, you know, approval, he did whatever he liked, and he had all the powers to do whatever he liked. That is how Duryodhan was. So this way, he was pampered, and Vidura, such a epitome of virtue, epitome of niti. In fact, his niti shastra, Vidura's niti shastra, is rated very, very high. In fact, it is the precursor to all other niti shastras which others have found. So brilliant was Vidura. But Vidura's advice was not followed by Dhritarashtra. Whenever he suffered, Dhritarashtra would solicit the presence of Vidura, and whatever advice Vidura gave, he would never put it into practice. Just here, here, here. Just, he never tired of hearing Vidura. That, to his credit, it must be said. But he never ever followed the instructions of Vidura. So he did just what he wanted. Goody-goody towards Vidura. Externally appearing to be, you know, following, but actually he was encouraging, tacitly encouraging his son Duryodhan to do just what he wanted. What all things did Duryodhana not do? He tried to burn his cousins in the Lakshagriha. He tried to poison Bhima. All kinds of evil plans he hatched. And in all this, Dhritarashtra was a party to all this. So when actually the time came when the war situation developed, and it was found that Krishna had taken the side of the Pandavas, and war was imminent. Any minute the war could break out. In that situation, when Krishna came as a peace messenger, Duryodhana did not hesitate to ill-treat, so to say, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Supreme Personality of Krishna. Dhritarashtra knew, Bhishma Dev knew, and others knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But nevertheless, everybody's hands were tied out of, I would not say false sense of loyalty, but out of sense of loyalty to the kingdom. So they all tolerated. Even the disrobing of Draupadi in open assembly, this was tolerated by everyone, especially by Dhritarashtra and also by other great people like Bhishma Dev, Dronacharya, Kripacharya. All of them were celebrities, but they all tolerated it because, you know, Duryodhan would be annoyed if we go against his wishes. This kind of fear complex. So ultimately, eventually, a war situation broke out. And at that point in time, in one particular royal assembly, Vidura very, very explicitly, you know, he criticized Duryodhan. He said that you had no business to do the things that you have done. So you should, your best interest, you know, is to part with the kingdom which is Yudhishthira Maharaja's, give it to him and live peacefully. In fact, this you should have done years ago. You have not done it. You subjected them to all kinds of harassment and you have really troubled them no end. So please, now at least, you know, reform your ways. And if I, he tells Dhritarashtra, if I were you, I would have rejected Duryodhan long ago. But Dhritarashtra obviously never ever followed the advice of Bhishma. He wanted to, but he could never follow the advice. To such an extent that Duryodhan became very, very annoyed in the royal assembly. He said that enough is enough. We have tolerated your saintly advice all this time. Now is the time, you know, you have never ever been loyal to, though you are our uncle, you have never ever been loyal to the Kurus. You always have, you know, shown preference for the Pandavas. In one sense, not wrong, right? It was due to Vidura's kindness that the Pandavas were saved from being burnt in Lakshagraha. So Vidura did show actually it is not preference, he actually showed kindness to the Pandavas. So in that process, Duryodhana said that you have always been disloyal, now you are talking of, you know, abandoning me itself. So I suggest that you walk out of this assembly simply with your breath. Just, you know, with your breath you walk out. Nothing else you take. Vidura was totally equipoised. He never was always, you know, balanced. Said, is that so? I abandon everything. He just kept his arm, you know, his Dhanusha Bana at the entrance of the Royal Assembly Hall and just walked out. And he renounced everything and walked out. He did not know where he was going, but surely the Supreme Lord guided him. And he went from place to place. He went to all the famous, you know, Tirthas, all the holy places. He visited each and every place. And wherever he went, you know, he interacted with saintly personalities there, just as he interacted with the great Maitreya Rishi, who had an audience with Sri Krishna. So he was absolutely, you know, completely absorbed in spiritual thinking and spiritual activity, totally. And especially his discussions with Maitreya Muni formed the core of the third and fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are considered to be very, very, very special. So Vidura's discussions with Maitreya Muni are simply wonderful. They are simply jewels. They are all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam for people to read and for people to appreciate Vidura's wisdom. So one of the discussion that took place between Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. This way, the time went on. Vidura came to know during his yatra, he came to know that the Supreme Lord Krishna has gone back home to his own abode. He knew that and he was in great distress. He became joyous when he heard from Maitreya Muni that Krishna was remembering him at the time of his departure. That gave him great joy. Look at the joys of saintly people. They don't want any physical possession to be given to them. Just the fact that the Supreme Lord remembered Vidura at the time of his departure, that was enough to enthuse Vidura. And Vidura became ecstatic. This way he traveled and traveled. And after the in between there was Mahabharata war. And we don't want to go into details. In the Mahabharata war, the Kauravas lost badly. Duryodhan was eventually killed despite Gandhari's, you know, providing him a steel kind of a body. With all that also, eventually Duryodhana was killed. In fact, all the sons of Gandhari were killed. So that was a miserable situation for the Kauravas. And during all this time, Vidura was absolutely away from all this. All things were happening, but he was not aware of what was happening. Just as in today's turbulent times, to know what is happening, you have to read a newspaper. Otherwise, a person like me now, I'm totally unfamiliar with what things are going on in the world outside. Totally at blank situation. So he was also like that. So he did not know, but he decided that, you know, I have a duty to perform towards my elder brother, that is Dhritarashtra. I have to somehow or the other redeem him, you know, take him out of his stupor, so to say, shake him up and bring him on the spiritual path. That's how he was thinking very strongly. And that is how he's back to Hastinapur. That is how he's there in Hastinapur. So after coming to Hastinapur, it is described how all the Pandavas, starting from Yudhishthira Maharaj to all the women folk, Gandhari, Draupadi, Kuntidevi, everybody, you know, was joyous. When a virtuous, saintly personality like Vidura comes home, everything becomes auspicious. Everything becomes auspicious. So everybody was very, very happy, thrilled that Vidura has come after a long, long, you know, lapse of time, he has come. So they were all extraordinarily helpful. Yudhishthira Maharaj said that you carry the spiritual, you know, things in your body. We don't have to separately bathe in holy Ganga or holy Yamuna. You carry everything with you wherever you go. Tirtha, wherever your lotus feet touch, that becomes a tirtha. So you are great. This way they welcomed him. They really loved Vidura to distraction, because it is he who had saved them on various occasions, not only out of sense of duty, out of affection for them. But at the same time, Vidura could maintain his balance of relationship with the Kauravas as well. It was a remarkable balancing feat. Now, people like us, if we don't like somebody, there is a total polarization. I don't like you, or I love you very much. We are extreme. But Vidura was middle course. Whereas he did not ever want to let down the Dhritarashtra and his sons, he also at the same time saw to it that he protected the Pandavas. Therefore, the Pandavas were very grateful. So when Vidura returned, after such a long time he returned to Hastinapur, when Yudhishthira Maharaj had become Chakravarti Samrat, so they were all very, very happy, very thrilled at this prospect of Vidura coming back home. Vidura enjoyed the hospitality. He did not spurn. He said that I am a now, you know, saintly person now. I have nothing to do with, you know, enjoyment. No, not standoffish attitude. He enjoyed whatever hospitality they showed, but he was not attached to anything that they gave. So though he was treated right royally by Yudhishthira Maharaj and everybody, Vidura, in his heart of hearts, his focus was on how to, you know, bring my elder brother Dhritarashtra to his senses. Poor fellow has still not lost his attachment to royalty. He still wants to, you know, enjoy himself. And Vidura, who never ever was harsh towards anyone, he thought that now I have to adopt a strategy where, you know, I will have to speak harsh words. So Bhagavad Gita advocates that you should be, you know, soft in hearted, you should be sweet in our talk. But Vidura kept that aside because he had a higher purpose in mind. He wanted to shake virtually Dhritarashtra from his, you know, slumber. Gandhari did not need any such treatment because she was already renounced. As Prabhupada says, that she was as great as Bhishmadeva. So she did not need, but Dhritarashtra needed that kind of shaking. So Vidura, for the first time in his life, he used harsh language. It was so unlike Vidura that he would use such harsh language. He never ever spoke harshly to his elder brother. Treated always in great respect. Even though he came out with such stupid ideas of harassing the Kauravas, of harassing the Pandavas, he never chastised them. He never spoke, you know, anything ill of him. He always tried to be helpful. But now he said, the time has come for me to take a tough stand. So sometimes a mother also has to take a tough stand against the child who is on the threshold of going astray. She has to sometimes, you know, use the stick sometimes, you know, use harsh language. So similarly here, Dhritarashtra needed the treatment, you can call inverted commas, treatment, which Vidura gave to him. A saintly Vidura, whatever he did was always saintly, but this was also a saintly act. Bringing Dhritarashtra to his senses was also a very saintly act. So he said that, don't you have any sense of shame in you? The very people whom, you know, tried to kill, murder the Pandavas, you are seeking hospitality from them. Bhima, whom you tried to kill, you tried to poison him. Of course, he may not have physically done it himself. Duryodhana did it. But with tacit approval from Dhritarashtra. So the very people whom you tried to kill, whom you tried to burn in Lakshagraha, you have no shame that you are taking hospitality from him. And you have no hesitation to accept the, what they call, rotis, which are thrown at you by Bhima. What is this going on, you know? Don't you have any sense of self-respect? Says that, you have reached a stage where all your bodily, you know, apparatus, I will call it apparatus, everything is falling apart. Everything is fallen apart. Nothing is in its place. So there is that famous verse of Shankaracharya. Galitam angam, palitam mundam, dashana vihinam, jatam tundam, vruddho yati gruhitva dandam, tadapina munchati asha pindam. Now this, you can substitute this by Dhritarashtra, you know, this saying fits him very well. So he was absolutely, you know, attached. Tadapina munchati asha pindam. So we should not laugh at Dhritarashtra, because all of us may also be doing this, something similar. I'm not, when I say all of us, I mean myself. I don't mean any of the exalted devotees sitting here in this hall. But we all have this attachment to our own way of thinking, our own way of dealing with people. So he was absolutely on the... Dhritarashtra was absolutely attached person. And somehow or the other, Vidur knew his weakness. And this time he used strong words, and these strong words of Vidura impacted him. All these years before the Mahabharata war, whenever Vidura advised, he would hear from one ear, it will go from the other ear, never to be put into practice. Never to be put into practice. But this time, he said, no. Dhritarashtra said that what my brother is saying makes sense. Time indeed has come. And I have to now make amends for my behavior. Now I have to go. So what advice does Vidura tell him? Nirgamyatam, get out of this place immediately. Don't lose any time now in any kind of discussion with anybody. You don't have to ask Yudhishthira Maharaj, is it okay? Is it a good idea for me to go to the forest? Will you kindly approve it? Give your NOC? No. Absolutely not necessary. Don't talk to anyone, not a word, not a murmur to anyone, including your very dear servant, Sanjay. Don't say anything to anyone. Just walk out. Nirgamyatam. Get out of this place. Go to a forest and lead a spiritual life and make your life successful. So, these words of Vidura, who now a saint himself, a great saint, a great personality anyway from birth, now he is a great saintly personality after all kinds of philosophical and spiritual discussions. He's now great. So these words impacted him. They say that sometimes, you know, the right time has to come for us to reform. Sometimes when we invite people to the temple, you know, devotees come to Radha Gopinath Mandir, they say, Abhi samay nahi aaya hai, you know, this is not the right samay. They are waiting for a wonderful time, you know, to come. But here, time had come, and Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and Vidura himself, they just quit. They quit the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj, where he had lived in comfort after the Mahabharata war. He left. They just left like that, without any discussion, without anything, without any fuss. They just left, and they went out. They walked. They were out of the way of Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then next day, the morning dawned. Morning dawned, and Yudhishthira Maharaj had made a practice of offering his obeisances to Gandhari Devi and Dhritarashtra, to whom he was ever grateful for having brought them from the forest when Pandu died. You know, so he was ever grateful. Despite all his atrocities, for his villainous attitude, he was always grateful. So he used to offer obeisances to Dhritarashtra and Gandhari every day of his life. And when he went, as usual, they are not there. Both of them are not there. Nor is Vidura there, uncle who had come after such a long lapse of time. Dear, dear Vidura, he is also not there. All three of them have left, just quit. So that was some kind of a shock to Yudhishthira Maharaj. True to his nature, once again, Yudhishthira Maharaj blamed himself for Dhritarashtra and Gandhari leaving. I have in some ways offended them. Just as he thought he was the root cause for Mahabharata war, he thought that all in the Mahabharata war, so many people lost their lives. There were many widows, many boys became orphans, and Yudhishthira Maharaj became inconsolable. Though he was victorious, he was inconsolable. He did not even want to accept the throne of Hastinapur. But he thought that, I have been responsible for such misery, so I have no moral right at all to accept this position. So what kind of persuasion was needed to bring Yudhishthira Maharaj back on, to logic? So even he was advised by Devarshi Narad, he was advised by Lord himself, Supreme Lord himself. He did not allow himself to be, advised, transformed. But eventually, Bhishma Dev, whom Krishna wanted to, glorify, Bhishma Dev's advice stuck home. And then eventually, Yudhishthira Maharaj did become the emperor of earth. So that way he accepted. But now, this Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking, I have once again, been responsible for whatever has happened. So I must do something about it. So he was miserable. He was crying. He was in great, great, great distress. And he thought that I must, what should I do now? He went and talked to Sanjaya. Sanjaya was always taking care of Dhritarashtra. He was always there. During Mahabharata war, he was the one who described whatever we read in Sanjaya Uvacha. Sanjaya was responsible for whatever information Dhritarashtra got about Mahabharata war and Bhagavad Gita itself. Sanjay was the person who gave the information. So he went, thought, maybe if nobody else knows where my uncles Gandhari have gone, surely Sanjay must be knowing, because he knows everything about my uncles. So he went there. He was equally miserable, as as Yudhishthira Maharaj. Because he also did not know what had happened, where they had gone. He said that I have been cheated by these, elderly people. They have not informed me. They have just gone out. Slyly they have walked out of the palace. I also do not know. So it's miserable. So you can imagine the state of Yudhishthira Maharaj. When Sanjay also does not know, I do not know. Where do I look for these elderly people? They are not young people, they are elderly people. They needed looking after. And now who will take care of them? Where have they gone? I don't know. What do I do? This was Yudhishthira Maharaj's lamentation. And just when he was lamenting like that, it is described that at that time, Devarshi Narad arrived. And what we are now discussing, I'm sorry, I'm discussing it later, but what we are discussing now is the what Narad Muni has been talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Narad Muni tried to console Yudhishthira Maharaj in various ways. Because he was clairvoyant, he knew what was happening, and he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, we won't go into the details, I don't want to steal the thunder from the remaining verses, but he told him that, you know, this destiny, you know, is very, very powerful, very powerful, very, very powerful, and destiny impacts all living entities. And one of the ways in which destiny impacts is that it causes separation from your loved ones. This is what has happened in your case. Destiny, it is vidhi. So I don't know how many of you appreciate Marathi, but there was a famous writer called Gadi Madgulkar. He based on Valmiki Ramayana, he wrote what is known as Geeta Ramayana, and in a song format Sudhir Phadke has sung Geeta Ramayana, and in that he says how powerful destiny is. If you permit me, I'll chant a few lines from that. Daiva jata dukhe bharata ओषना कुणाचा पराधीन आहे जगती पुत्र मानवाचा. Says that दैवजात दुखे भरता. Whatever miseries all of us are suffering, they are all दैवजात, destined. दोषना कुणाचा, nobody is to be blamed for it. So you get separated. And then he says further, I don't want to sing the entire song, but what is relevant, he says, Don hondya kanchi hote sagarat bhet ek laat todi dogha puna nahi gaat. He says that in the ocean, many wooden, you know, planks, small planks, they are tossed here and there. And eventually, by the will of the Lord, by the will of destiny, two, you know, wooden planks come close together. This is that family life is like that. By the will of the Supreme Lord, a man and a woman, they come together. They lead a family life. They go through family life. The man of the house earns a living. The woman cooks, brings up children. She goes through all that, and then one fine day, ek laata todi doga, one big wave comes and lashes, and the two planks are separated. Similarly, the husband and wife are separated. So destiny comes and strikes, and everybody has to leave. So there are no exceptions to the rule. No exceptions. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu dhruvam janma mrutasya cha tasmad apariharyate natvam shochitum arasi. So everybody has to eventually surrender and leave, vacate the body. So we are living in this body. It's like leave license agreement. For certain number of years we are allowed to inhabit the body, and when the right time comes, you have to quit, and the spirit soul quits the body to take up another body. Vasaunsi jirnani yatha vihayak, Bhagavad Gita says. So at the right time, you have to give up that body. So we go through so many transformations until such time as we come in touch with a great personality, a saintly personality like Guru Maharaj or Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who had the capacity to stop this, you know, cycle of birth and death. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatre shayanam. So going through that again and again, that cycle of birth and death, somebody has to stop. And that is done by saintly personalities like Srila Prabhupada or Guru Maharaj. we are fortunate that we are in International Society of Krishna for Krishna Consciousness, and we are in a moment where we can hope to one day transcend this cycle of birth and death. May happen in this birth, may happen in next birth, may happen after 100 births also, I do not know. But we have a path on which we can walk with confidence that one day we'll be freed, you know, from what we are doing. One day, a day will dawn when we'll be freed from this cycle of birth and death and take to the spiritual path of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So these are some of the thoughts which came to my mind when I read the verse and the purport with what little time I had and prepared it. So thank you all very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna.